bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is, does your IT help desk help? Our guests for today's show are Barry Carter and Willie Lick. Barry is the Corporate Information Officer for Alliance Data Systems, and Winnie is the Chief Information Officer for TalkWord Discovery. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, very good.
So how's business and how's life?
Business is good. It's a tough economic environment at the moment, but things are going well, and life is good, and it looks like maybe the winter's finally coming to an end.
Life is great. We just wrapped up basketball season with my kids, heading into baseball season, and business is great. Great profits last year, and continued progress this year.
Very nice. So things are happening very well, and businesses are growing, and one portion of the overall business operation is the help desk, and that to in particular IT help desk, and that's where there's a pet peeve of the users that IT help desk has got the help portion missing in there. They don't find it to be that helpful. And we have always seen different levels of productivity and different levels of, efficiency, if you will, and effectiveness in this area in particular. So what is that, complexity which is driving this uncertainty and this lack of efficiency and effectiveness? Larry?
Well, from my perspective, when I take a look at the help desk, I think that that we've been very, very successful at driving significant efficiencies. When you take a look at the average life on a help desk, you get a random number of calls. For us, we get about 2,000 calls a week. But what we find is that the majority of the calls come in are really about end user services. And so, how can we make the experience much more efficient? And what we do is we target what we call a first pass yield at the service desk, and we want that to be greater than 70% of the calls. If we can get 70% of the calls resolved at the help desk, we believe that we're providing great customer service, because on average, in over 80% of our calls, our problems are resolved in less than 2 hours, and that includes if we have to dispatch a help desk technician. So for us, I think that through the application of analytics on the back end, really looking at how we fulfill our orders, because that's really what we look at the help desk as. It's really our customer storefront and our ability to handle orders. And if we can satisfy the customer greater than 70% of them within a very short period of time, we believe that our overall constituency is going to be satisfied.
For us, we're a mid-sized company, and I've got about 200 people here in this office and another 250 people roaming around the country that I service from a help desk here on site. And, for us, the key was really in being able to reverse the spiral. All too often we were, years ago, going from fire to fire in firefighting mode without really having the processes, the time, the investment, or the skills in eliminating root causes and being able to bring things under control. We really had to invest in our people. We had to make sure we had the knowledge and experience and that we needed in order to provide the response. And so it started with investment and being able to turn around from reactive to proactive service. And, today I think we're at the point where our service desk is really a proactive partner for the business and providing some excellent project work, not just reactionary work.
And Barry, you mentioned something about percentages, and you mentioned that if the 70% of the help desk issues are resolved, then it's such a it's a time for celebration. Now, if we were to look at from a user's perspective, they would expect 100%. While it may be unreasonable, but that's what they do, and they're the ones who give you thumbs up and thumbs down. So how do you fight that battle?
Well, I think that the way we fight that battle is by providing great customer service training to our associates, as well as really working with our associates to examine what is it that we're not solving at the help desk, looking at that on a month quarterly basis, and trying to find more ways to be able to solve the problem at the point of the call. Clearly, we're not going to be able to do that, but what we have done is created a process and a feedback mechanism where folks can call in and find out the status of their ticket and get an anticipated resolution time. We also share with folks that, you know, that we're going to solve greater than 95% of our problems in less than 2 days. So it's really, how can we manage the expectation? How can we manage the customer experience? How can we also seek feedback loops to help give our associates more insight into the things that they're not going to be able to resolve, in hopes of being able to raise that resolution target, and provide them with the training that they need, whether it's either technical training to resolve the problem, or customer service training in order to make the person feel better about the experience.
Well, let me take an example from, you know, user interface design. This is kind of a question which I'm going to make a point here, is that you look at a good design. And a good design is something that you don't see. You just experience it. Similarly, if you were to look at help desk, if there is a crash and then the stopwatch starts counting, and that's when you see how many minutes or hours did this person take to come to my desk and, you know, take care of issues. Whereas if there was any preventive measure that we could take so that while things are going well, this person casually comes and fixes certain things, and he knows in advance what's going to take, to keep a smooth sailing boat here, then they will never see literally a help desk person, and they will hopefully not have such issues or fewer such issues. So could we not be a little more proactive, and could we not have more preventive measures-based help desk versus only when somebody asks us, only then we come?
So this is Barry. From my perspective, I mean, that really is the goal. When I talk to my help desk and my service technicians that are out there on the front line, I paint the picture of, you know, I really want you guys to be the Maytag repairman. I want you to be the lonely repair guy that never gets called. And so the reason that I bring that analogy up is I really want them to be motivated to find preventive measures, and our guys have been, you know, very, very successful. They go out, they're looking at what's coming to them from a ticket perspective. They're working with their partners in the second tier and the third tier support groups to find out what they can do to move things into their groups to handle. So clearly, you're on track. Our folks really do want to have a very positive experience for everyone, and really not be called. But then when they're called, we want to be able to do an excellent job. And hopefully, our guys will be the Maytag repairmen.
I'd like to comment, if I could. I think, you know, I agree with everything Barry said, and I think you made an excellent point. You know, it does come down to, for me, what is the expectation, but not just for us here at Talc. Talc World Discovery is in the business of providing excellent travel experiences around the world, and the key to our success as a business is surpassing our customers' expectations. And really, when it comes to our help desk, we have the same mantra, and we're part of the same culture, and we judge ourselves on our ability to surpass our customers' expectations, our internal customers. And so for us, it goes beyond, resolving an issue or responding to a call. It does go to where you were implying of being truly a proactive partner. And these are, you know, my frontline people that really are out there working with the business day in, day out, that have their finger on the pulse of what's happening and what the needs are in every area of the organization. And there's been an awful lot of things we've been able to do with, from a proactive service point of view, whether it's, understanding that it's a challenge to travel around the world today and providing road warrior clinics or getting out there and traveling ourselves and understanding some of the issues people are running into, actually with a lot of the tools and techniques that are available today, things like SharePoint and some of the other tools we have, our help desk can actually deliver solutions and help the business ahead of request to application development. So, there is an opportunity for a help desk to truly be a proactive arm of IT.
So one thing we have seen in terms of benchmark, whenever we say there should be fewer tickets for support, that usually turns out to be a benchmark for the software development community or the folks who are working on the application side, whereas help desk is told you should, you know, solve the problems and solve them quickly, and that's your benchmark. But somehow that benchmark should be also overlapping about, you know, fewer number of tickets every time, every month, every period when you are doing a review. And that should also fall in the lap of the help desk support folks as well, along with the software development. But it's not seen as a norm. What's the reason for that?
So this is Barry. What I would tell you is that I do think it is a bit more of the norm. A good help desk manager and a good help desk team is clearly going to partner with all their upline, upstream constituents. And so whether it's the application development folks, whether it's the mainframe support team, any particular group, they're looking at historical trends and trying to find ways to be able to solve the problem quicker, and also looking at what are the historical drivers of the problems and how can we provide feedback upstream to these groups so that the overall customer experience is more pleasant and that we impact the call volumes. We're all incented to keep our IT costs low and to have the right number of folks on the help desk. And the only way that we can do this is by providing feedback upstream. And then we also need a feed-forward loop from those guys to share with us and give us the knowledge to handle new anticipated features or functionalities for calls that we'll be getting. I mean, nothing is ever going to be constant, but if we can create those partnerships with our upstream business partners, we can provide a greater overall IT experience to our consumers, and that's really what we're trying to do.
You know, I would agree with all that. I would add that a lot of times, if we're not careful, we get lost in the technical challenge of the issues that are called in, and that's really not the goal. The goal is not to go fix a piece of technology first and foremost. The goal is to help the business person with whatever they're trying to do. And in a lot of cases, we can help them with a workaround, and we can get them put back in business while somebody else is working on the root cause or eliminating the issue. And really, through communication and creativity and truly understanding what the person's trying to accomplish and what their need is, you can bring a solution to bear very quickly, even if the technical solution takes longer to resolve. And I think we've seen a lot of success in applying that and helping us turn service around even while we were improving the technology behind the scenes and bringing a more solid platform to bear.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And now let's look at the internal users and how are we treating them as compared to the customers for who we basically invest in CRM and do other things to keep them happy at all times. Doesn't it look like that the internal users almost look like a stepchild and or stepchildren, if you will, and they have not been given the due importance, if you will, and it's always still taken as a cost center. Let's explore this area when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned.
Talk about his money. Call us toll free 866-472-5790 and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol.com. Visit today.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Today's topic is, does your IT help desk help? And we were talking about the internal users versus external customers. Who is getting more importance, and where are we heavily investing in terms of CRM? And we talked about external customers. We put all our might in solving their problems. And when we look internally, if, yes, that we are investing, but is that enough? So we have to see why is that happening, why is that lack of emphasis, because eventually it is going to have a direct or indirect impact on what the company produces and how it reflects to the outside world. Vinny?
For us, CRM is certainly an important part of our strategy here and supporting our external customers. It's easy to see a direct relationship to a CRM project to top-line growth. It's less clear when it comes to the help desk. It is indeed about providing service to internal customers, and if you remember that the internal customers are often working on initiatives for the external customers, that's where the connection is. And for our folks, I think they really enjoy at the help desk when they can help the business with something that impacts external customers. Keeping that connection in mind is a big part of their motivation. For us, from a thinking of it, is it a cost center or is it an investment? In my experience, when service isn't what it should be, it's easy to see this as a cost because we're spending money and we're not getting what we expect out of it. When the service is excellent and surpassing the expectations, it becomes a lot less of an issue. And in fact, I've seen our help desk, as it became more effective, actually begin to drive down the costs of the help desk. So it's not as much an issue of investment, because the more effective it is, the lower the cost goes.
Barry?
From my perspective, what I would say is that we invest, we actually invest pretty heavily in preventive measure tools. If you take a look across our infrastructure, We have over 73 tools where we're out there proactively monitoring and measuring what's going on in the computing world, and we're trying to provide proactive insight to our operations staff, and then they're communicating with the folks on the help desk in the event that there's any situation. Also within our help desk team, we've invested in a knowledge base. We've invested a tremendous amount of labor in trying to get the insight around what are the recurring problems. How do we give the folks at the help desk the not only the access that they need, but also a process and procedure to resolve the problem. So we've been investing in tools and technology, as well as in the training of the associates to get them clearly certified in the desktop environment, so that we can avoid problems and really keep our overall total cost low. We really look at the help desk really as that storefront. They're the people that our customers are dealing with, and if they can provide great service, and we've given them the tools and the knowledge to solve the problems and make the customer happy, we believe that they are as successful and important to our business as our customers are.
Yeah, I'd like to add, I think, as I was sitting here thinking about this, there are points of contact between our TALC employees and our external customers, and those points of contact are probably the most important place where our help desk can be effective and really drive some business benefit. You know, half of our workforce is out around the world delivering travel experiences, our tour directors. They need to have good connectivity back here to TALC. They need to have information about the tour that they're running. They need to have access to the systems back here, and they need to have connectivity. And they're in all kinds of remote areas of the world. Part of our help desk's mission is to make sure they stay connected, that we understand the challenges in every country that they're in and every remote part of the world, and that we can assist them. And we can assist them regardless of what laptop they're using or what internet cafe they're in or what hotel's internet service they're in. And that's quite a challenge, but our folks are up to it and delivering excellent service out there every day. In addition, as they interact with our tour directors, they're picking up needs that they have for the information systems back here, and they do a great job of collecting needs and requirements and giving us some insight in our application development environment as to what would really drive benefit. And we've been able to leverage that and capture that, and they've done a great job at that for us.
Do you think we can at all innovate in this area? And if yes, where?
You know, innovation is it's a wonderful thing. It really comes from, I think, empowerment, you know, and we've got a team of knowledgeable, experienced people that are quite impressive, and our roles as leaders are to empower them and give them what they need and give them a structure to work in that allows them to be innovative. And I've seen some great innovations come, and some of them are simple and some of them are more sophisticated. You know, I've seen things as simple as an office move and an idea of doing little cardboard cutouts to allow the office employees to tell us, by placing the cutouts on a desk, where they want their computer and their monitor and their mouse. And it was this, you know, simple little idea, but it really took hold and brought back a lot of great feedback. I've seen more sophisticated innovation, providing system solutions or, you know, we do a Road Warrior clinic that takes time for us. For some of our senior executives, we actually go out and look at their itinerary and see where they're going to be staying and give them advice on connectivity. So there's a lot of things that we can do that are innovative and proactive, and providing the environment where people thrive and are excited about the innovation they can bring to their job is really what our role is as leaders.
My team has done a really great job of innovating in the service delivery space, particularly in regards to the service catalog. As we've dissected what's going on with our help desk tickets and the service request tickets flowing in through the help desk tickets, it's really helped us to better define and shape our service catalog. And then additionally, as they have looked at the frequency of the tickets and look for ways to eliminate those either through electronic forms or through some type of self-service fulfillment of a password reset. Our team does a great job at innovating. What I'm really kind of most pleased with is the way that we've really looked at our order to fulfillment process, and we have some great things going on in that space, and it's really all driven from the help desk team and the service management team.
So we are talking about the people, processes, and technology, a mix of those, or you can say the right mix of those is what is going to lead us to nirvana. And we are hoping that we have the right mix in place, and that's what we always strive for. So is there something you can say in terms of common denominator across these three areas which we can at least put in place and know that we have the right foundation, and then we can go ahead and build and do some custom work on the remaining portions based on the vertical that we are in or the specific industry type we are in? Can we really convert this into more of a science, or at least move more towards a science versus still keeping it as an art?
Well, for me, it's a blend. You know, there is science and there is art. You know, one of the frameworks out there of best practices, ITIL, gives you a lot of tools and techniques to use. But, then the art comes into it. The art is the judgment of the individual that knows which tool and technique to apply to which problem. You know, as for all of us, as we come to work each and every day, there's 100 things we need to do today, and we're not going to get to all 100. So the judgment is, which ones are we going to work on and why? So for me, it's all about people and empowerment and the judgment that we make, understanding the best practices, how and when do we apply them is what brings the best success.
Yeah. I'm going to take this from a slightly different perspective. To me, there's a baseline set of things that you have to have, and the baseline set of things that you have to have are great people with a natural curiosity and a willingness to learn that really want to help people. And you've got to have that in your help desk for sure. The next thing you've got to have is you really have to have a good tracking tool with the ability to get the analytics out of the back end of the system. What's going on with the request, and how can you take what appears to be a very chaotic day and begin to see the patterns in that. Then the next thing that you really have to have is some type of knowledge base. And the knowledge base doesn't have to be very elaborate. Right? It can be as simple as a standardized folder of Word documents. But when you get those great people with that knowledge base and an understanding of how the chaos is going to come in through the day, I think that that they can be much more successful in handling the request. And then I would say also the next step up is really having great partnerships with all of the product or service providers that the IT help desk is going to have to support. And then working to continue that evolution, such that greater number of problems are being resolved at the first point of contact each time. So that's really kind of my advice to folks. If you're out there and you think that you've got some opportunities in the service desk help desk area to provide greater support, I kind of would encourage you to explore those four four aspects of the business.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at the people side of things, where these individuals who are frontline warriors are making people happy or trying to make people happy, but they're getting burnt out, and in many cases they feel their job is thankless. So what can be done? What education, training, motivation, and what are the techniques can be used for us to have a continual high level of contentment within the team? People may come, people may go, but what do you do to make sure that the end user does not suffer because of these people issues? Let's talk more about this when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Up to date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
You don't need a fortune to create wealth for you and your loved ones. If you have equity in your home, have a self-directed individual retirement account, or your current income property is not working like it once did, let RealSource be your difference. RealSource at RealSource.net provides its real estate investor clients with the knowledge, the tools, and the deals to build wealth. RealSource at RealSource.net introduces clients to the industry's best market research, 24/7 expert counsel and coaching, and the nation's premier real estate investment advisors. Let RealSource be your difference. RealSource at RealSource.net.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Today's topic is, does your IT help desk help? And before the break, we just touched the topic related to burnout effect that a help desk team may experience because of continuous pursuit of client or internal customer satisfaction. And they may view their job as thankless, and which may adversely impact the overall delivery in terms of service. Now, what we are to do in terms of motivating them, educating them, and preventing that attrition so that the business knowledge also stays in-house as much as possible? Winnie?
Yeah, this is really a key question. I'm a member of the Society of Information Management. It's a global association of IT leaders. In our 2007 survey, attracting, developing, and retaining IT professionals was overwhelmingly the top IT management concern. And so this is really a key question. I think first and foremost, there's an awful lot of process that we throw at our help desks. And I think we have to make sure that our process is a tool and that we don't become slaves to the process and drag our people down with them. It is a tool. We want to use it, and we want to empower. Now, as we become proactive and we identify some opportunities for some proactive things to happen, people are going to need development. They're going to need encouragement. They're going to need management support. Training is important. For most folks, if I can come to work every day and I've got a good, challenging job and I know I'm helping people and benefiting the business, I stay fully engaged, and retention isn't really the issue, nor is burnout. It really getting to that proactive stage is the key, I think. It really is not as much a burnout issue when you get there.
This is Barry. I fully agree with the getting to the proactive state is really the key, because you really have to provide folks with some type of normal, predictable work life. One of the other things that we've really done to help our folks across the organization is we invested in a career landscape, and within that landscape, we're showing people the opportunities within the job family. How do you move up? What training and certification should you have as you move up? And we incent people to create those development action plans that and work with their managers to get the necessary training. And we really look at the help desk as an entry level position, though clearly a key position. But we really don't want people to stay there as a career. We want them to move through the organization, and that's part of how we deal with burnout. We really want people there on a 2 to 3 year period, and we want them cycling through the organization. What we find as they move into the organization that they're able to share with their colleagues the impressions and experiences that they've had with customers as they've resolved problems, and they create a greater sense of a customer service attitude across the entire organization by being able to recall and replay some of their favorite stories with their new peer groups. So if we can get folks to a proactive if we can get to the proactive help desk or service desk, and we can provide folks with a great career landscape and give them the opportunity to move through the organization, and as they see their friends moving to other jobs, we think that does a great service to the folks, and it keeps them happy, and they see that there's a much better career path for them. We think we can avoid burnout that way.
Now, in the first place, to basically identify the problem areas, what if you were to take an inventory of needs and wants of a typical help desk worker, what would those be? And I'm pretty sure that they may be a little different from an executive, a mid to senior level executive. So, of course, we'll have different strokes for different folks. But in the beginning, if you take an inventory, then we will have a better understanding of what the problem is, how to structure, and then find a solution. So let's take a quick inventory. Anything that you would want to state there? Really?
Wow. I'm not really sure where you're going with the question. To me, you know, what I need at the help desk, if I work there, is, I need access to tools. I need access to my customers. I need management support and guidance. I need development and opportunity. So I'm not sure where you're going.
So I'm asking because, you know, definitely a help desk individual, he comes and looking at the very fact that he's not a help desk manager, he's an operator, and mm-hmm. he may have had limited education background, and some people have been in the help desk for so long, but that's still a different type of work versus the other parts of the organization. So they may have very specific needs and wants. So if we have to kind of involve HR or even IT management function gets involved, what do they do differently in terms of people management?
Okay, let me take another shot at it then. Okay, you know, we probably treat the our approach to the help desk is probably a little different here. You know, our folks are not help desk analysts. We call them business support analysts, and we they have a different title and a different kind of position, and we're not really looking for them to just stay on the phone or resolve issues. We really want that proactive partnership on a day-to-day basis. And, so it's really in how we view them and how we develop them that really keeps them away from the burnout stage, I think. And really, it's not even us as management that does it. It's really them themselves, the team, that takes control of the situation and drives to a more proactive place. And our role is to enable that teamwork.
I'd say it's pretty difficult to add on to what Vinny has said there. I mean, fundamentally, what we want to do is to put people in those spots that want to help people. From a management perspective, what we're trying to do is to create a feedback loop for them, showing them how successful they are at resolving problems. We want to give them coaching and insight such that they can be more successful. We want them to focus on their training and their certifications so that they can be more successful in their current role, but also prepared for future roles. And we want them to be fully supported. We want to make sure that as they have what they see as repetitive issues, that those issues are being escalated, and that they're seeing progress on the resolution of those.
You know, I would add, Barry, you just about touched on this, but you caused me to think of it, and I think it's important that we do celebrate and recognize their successes and recognize their contributions. And a lot of times, help desk workers can be lost, and yet what they do is so very important. And I've had to remember and have had to build in recognition of what our help desk folks do. There's really no more important thing that happens than when I get a compliment from a customer. And we regularly get compliments on our help desk, and we try to take a moment and celebrate those. And I think the recognition is also an important part of it, and you touched on that, Barry, so I'm sure you agree.
Absolutely. I think celebrating successes and having victory lap parties is clearly important.
Now, coming to outsourcing, that's another area where we are trying to see if we can have somebody else take care of this, and it could very well have a good implication on the cost management and cost control. Now, if there is a tangible advantage in a given situation, that's when outsourcing will happen. So if you were to, again, take a look at in what areas will or in what situations or in what type of companies would outsourcing really be helpful, and how do you know if outsourcing is really worth it, even in terms of exploring? So you've got to do some kind of diagnostics on the company. How would you go about it, Barry?
Well, actually, we've explored this a couple of times. When I first came to Alliance, our unit cost for the help desk was upside down, as well as for desktop services. And when we began to look at it and break things down, what we quickly realized is that with some focus on our cost, we could get our cost our cost below the outsourcer, our effectiveness as high as the outsourcer. And so to me, as we begin to explore this and delve into it a little differently, when could outsourcing be effective for a service desk? And there's a bit of a slippery slope there. There's one scenario that I could envision, and that's where you've gotten to the point that you've effectively automated the resolution of things, and you've gotten to the point where the call volume that you have really doesn't afford you the ability to keep people on shift 7x24, and could you possibly move some calls in the middle of the night or on the second shift to a remote site? So where is it too expensive to man for the clock? And in a situation like that, as long as you've got the infrastructure and you still have some control around the knowledge base and the back-end analytics, it may be beneficial. But so far, I've yet really to run into to a situation where I'm willing to accept the risk of a customer service failure for a few dollars savings.
Yeah,
we
would
take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right after these messages and discuss this topic of outsourcing and why, in what situations, will this really help. And let's stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss this further.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol.com. Visit today.
The Wealth Spa helps small business owners achieve their most important business and life goals through independent, fee-only financial and legal consulting, money coaching, teleclasses, home study kits, and books. The Wealth Spa specializes in a holistic approach to business and personal finance, teaching entrepreneurs how to reduce financial stress, manage their money, get out of debt, grow a business into an empire, and achieve real financial freedom. To get a copy of the free special reports, How to Avoid the Top 10 Money Mistakes and How to Avoid the Top 10 Business Owner Money Mistakes, and to get a complimentary subscription to the Easing Prosper, visit thewealthsparadioshow.com.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back, folks. Outsourcing a help desk, that's what we are discussing. So, Vinny, your thoughts?
You know, it's interesting. My thoughts go really in two different places on this topic. Clearly, you know, when you're not getting the service you need from your help desk and you're looking at the cost of it, you can outsource it. You can probably improve service and get it at a lower cost. And, you know, in some cases, that may not be a bad idea. But, you know, if you look a little deeper and you say to yourself, how does the outsourcer improve service? And then you look at the processes that they put in place and the time they take to understand the service level requirements. And you say to yourself, well, why can't I do this? Why can't I insource it? And why can't I provide even a higher level of service? And why can't I drive costs down? And often you find that you can do these things and you can do them better than the outsourcer can. The other place my mind goes is, you know, when you look at a process or a part of work and you say, should I keep this in my company or should I outsource it? It really comes down to often, is this a value-added activity? You know, is this something that really is adding value to my business? If your help desk isn't, well, it's a candidate. If it is, then it's not. And so, to me, it also takes you back to that proactive conversation. You know, can your help desk be a proactive weapon for the business? And if it is, it's really not a candidate for outsourcing.
So we are saying that there would not be all situations where outsourcing could create value, and maybe size matters in this case. Would there be like a threshold that you may want to look at before it starts making sense?
You know, for me, it comes down to, you know, what's the service expectation in part, because I have trouble seeing it as a good idea. And yeah, maybe size matters, because certainly there's economies of scale. What do you think, Barry?
Well, I actually think that it's really more of a situation. It's more situational based upon the business conditions and the problems that you're asked to solve. in a turnaround situation where you have a high-cost IT organization and you have a specific target to get your cost down, and historically you've got multiple fires to fight. Could you go out and source the help desk and save some money? You bet. While you go fight a fire that may be deemed more strategic, where you've got a critical business application that you have to get installed. So there are situations where you may choose to source this based off of the problem set that you have to solve. But where I kind of come out in the end is not given a crisis or an immediate mandate, can you find a way to do this yourself and improve the processes to the point that you can get your unit cost below an outsourcer? And I generally believe that, you know, given a long enough runway, you can get there. Sometimes you're not going to have that runway, and you're hired to deliver results, and you're going to have to go do that. So I can see scenarios where it would happen.
Talking about ITIL, you know, we have seen a lot of hoo-ha about that, and we've seen version 2, now version 3 must be out, and people are looking at it. With that being such a broad guideline, what is the true value it has delivered with respect to help desk? Winnie?
Well, for me, it's a body of knowledge. You know, it's a set of best practices, and it's, you know, it's a place where it's written down and it's available as a reference, and you can use it. Now, I don't believe following it religiously in every case necessarily adds value. It really comes down to knowing your situation, your company, your people, and having the knowledge and experience to make good judgment about which processes are the ones that are going to add the most value in your situation.
Okay. So for me, the value of ITIL comes in that it produces a common language, and it begins to call the core processes begin to have meaning across environments or across companies and previous experiences or the world views of certain folks. And so if you can get folks to embrace ITIL and understand the common language, I think that you can promote deeper understanding and alignment amongst the folks. And I think that's really the true value of ITIL across the industry. It's a common language, and we see that processes generally start and begin at the same level of abstraction. And the value is being able to align people such that you can empower them to deliver incredible service.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It really does do that for us.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Barry and Winnie, for sharing your thoughts about the value that IT Help Desk brings to the table, which we all know, but of course we have to get the best value out of it and provide the best satisfaction to our end users and how to make that happen. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure.
So, thanks. And due to rapidly changing business needs, we have seen that effectiveness and efficiency, optimization of help desk has become more of a journey and a moving target. And we are, in a way, struggling in some areas, and which is causing some dissatisfaction for the end users. The right combination of people, processes, and technology could help us reach that nirvana. But at the same time, management needs to change its focus from IT help desk being a cost center and cannot in any way deliver, it cannot connect to a top-line growth. That mindset should change, and they should, in fact, encourage ongoing improvement and foster innovation in that area. So how is your IT help desk doing? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sunjal Gaul next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.